Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Benji. So Benji, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Benji Gershon. I'm the president and founder of Dallas Jewish Conservatives and live right here in Dallas, Texas.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this organization?
So about 6 years ago now, I really started as a social group. There was really no place for Jewish conservatives like myself to be able to express their opinions and ideas and without really being kind of lambasted by the left. And there was really no safe space, for lack of a better term, for conservatives, especially Jewish conservatives. So the first event we ever did was at Topgolf with about 10 of my friends, conservative, like-minded people. And what started as a small social group quickly turned into a political machine, doing speaker series events and political forums, candidate forums, Jewish holiday events, you name it. So we were quickly off to the races, really after like our first year, and really started kind of word of mouth, started to have things take off.
Awesome. So what were some of the challenges that you had early on when you started this business?
Some of the challenges at the beginning, I think just sourcing speakers and kind of just getting ourselves out there, kind of, you know, it's just me, myself, and I. And my wife at the beginning was not really involved. Now she is, because we've become much bigger, and it's a pretty big undertaking. And we have a fantastic volunteer staff, I should add, as well. But I would say at the beginning, definitely just sourcing speakers and kind of just getting your foot in the door of different other GOP groups and learning, you know, kind of the who's in the political world. That was the hardest challenge.
Like, as of right now, what is, you know, sourcing speakers look like for you? How do you find the people that are speaking at all of your events?
Sure. A lot of it is people finding me now, which is, I feel blessed to be in that position that people are reaching out to our organization saying, hey, we'd like to come speak to you all. We've heard a lot about you. But I do a lot of just networking on LinkedIn, Facebook, all different social media platforms. Sometimes it's just a DM, you know, and it's a shot in the dark and it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. Other times it's introductions through friends and family that know people in the political world are connected to, you know, speaker X, Y, or Z, and then they make an introduction. So variety of ways, but nothing beats just a good old cold call or an email, and you'd be surprised people will respond. At least at this point, they're responding. So the beginning is a little harder, but yeah.
Makes sense. So in terms of getting a speaker, like, how do you know if it's going to sell out, like that people can actually be interested in coming to hear the speaker, if you have like the, you know, right venue size that is going to, you know, like, you know, this many people are interested. Like, what does that look like for you?
So it's hard to plan out speakers really more than 3-4 months in advance, because as you know, the news cycle is so fluid right now. It's crazy. What I try to do is just, I try to kind of get the pulse of where the electorate is, you know, where the conservatives are as far as the hot topics and issues that are prevalent in the news. And there's so many, obviously, things right now that we're trying to combat with the Biden administration that's a challenge in itself. Because you can talk about so many different things, but I think that's the number one thing I focus on. Just try to pick the right topic at the right time. I've been pretty good at it. And just kind of trying to find also dynamic speakers. You know, I look for speakers that are not necessarily on the circuit as much. They might be, by all means, considered maybe a C-class speaker, so to speak, if you want to call it like that. But really, there's a lot of talented people who, I think with the right marketing and the right approach, they're really A-list speakers, because they're not on the circuit all the time. They have a great message. Some of them are, you know, authors, TED Talk speakers. You'd be surprised kind of the kind of people that are both professional and in the political sphere that you can get and not have to, you know, obviously pay all sorts of money, like getting someone like a Ben Shapiro, which is obviously a dream speaker, but you kind of get my drift. That's kind of what I try to do, so I can be a little different than the other Republican clubs.
Makes sense. So to get somebody like that, like Ben Shapiro, obviously he's one of the most popular people right now. Like, what does that look like? Is it more of just the cost to bring him out, flying him out, you know, paying like a speaking fee? Is that more of like the barrier, or is it just like what does that look like, you know, if you're trying to get somebody of that magnitude?
Definitely have to have a good pitch for sure, and it helps to know somebody on the inside. Always, it doesn't matter who the speaker is. That's just to start, I would say that. But you know, a lot of these guys, and good for them. You know, they can afford to. I mean, they have the ability to ask for 50 grand. You know, 80 grand for a speech. You know, kudos to them. You know, go capitalism. You know, some of these guys are just. They're a little unobtainable for a small grassroots, you know, events-based organization like ourselves. Maybe one day we'll get there, but it's difficult. I mean, even the friends and family pricing from some speakers that I've been quoted, you know, 10 to 20 grand is pretty right there in the realm of you know, possibilities for these guys.
That makes sense. So do you focus more because of that, like speakers that are local? I mean, obviously DFW is a huge market, and there's plenty of people that are great speakers that live locally. I mean, just because, you know, I'm sure, you know, you're probably like not paying as much when it comes to travel expenses or just their overall speaking fee. Like, what is, you know, in terms of like focusing on the geographic location of your speaker, does that come into play?
Yeah, so I focus. I do. I got a lot of people that are local, of course, and people that are just in the state of Texas generally. But I also have plenty of speakers that we've flown in, and we've you know, gotten them accommodations and hotels or other conservatives to house them for us. And it really just depends on the speaker. You know, if in our budget, if it, we make it work with the with our ticket sales and with our structure. You know, we'll go for it. But you know, like someone like a Trevor Loudon, fantastic speaker that's come. We've had people that are quote unquote a little controversial, like a Katie Hopkins from the UK. We actually have Melanie Phillips coming from the UK here in October, end of October. A little teaser there for you. But we've been really lucky, and I don't really say lucky. We've been blessed to really get amazing talent, and a lot of them are in Texas, but. Sometimes it's we catch people also I should say we catch people when they're flying into Texas for other events and that's a way we you know can cut on costs so it's nothing that no one else is probably doing it's not like rocket science but that's kind of some of the stuff that we try to do.
Makes sense. So in terms of, you know, some of the speakers, I'm sure you obviously get people who are running for office. So, you know, if people are trying to get their name out, are they, you know, more likely to just, you know, speak for free, or are they sort of like, you know, charge a fee, you know, when it comes to your events?
People running for office, you're saying?
Yeah.
People running for office, they're I mean, I don't even think they really typically charge anything. They're trying to get their word out, and that's something that we've done over the years is we're a platform for not only speakers but definitely candidates. We've done plenty of forums both at a local level, state level. We had a huge District 32 forum that we did. We've hosted gubernatorial candidates. We've hosted people candidates for City Hall, Senate, Congress, you name it. So I like to think that we're a really solid platform because of our audience and our reach for all these candidates and speakers to get their message and their word out. And I think that's really important because it also helps them fundraise both directly and indirectly at our events. We, you know, we also do a pretty good job of, I think, of marketing. And putting their name out there and their website out there before, during, and after the event so that we're linking to them and they're getting the message out that way too. So I just try to offer a lot of value add at the end of the day from a marketing standpoint. You know, our events are getting anywhere between typically anywhere from 100 to 400 plus people, depending on the speaker, obviously, and the time of the event. So I've been really pleased with that. We have almost 3,000 plus members now and we're growing. Growing like crazy, and actually, I'll put a little plug out there right now. We're a little teaser, I should say. We're going to be growing into a national organization over the next several months. So stay tuned for that because we're going to be growing into American Jewish Conservatives. I got the logo, I got the new website coming. Just figuring out the timing of that, but that's where we're going because I feel like there's a huge need in the marketplace. I've heard from other people, even people that have traveled to our events from Louisiana, Oklahoma, they're saying. You know, you open up a Jewish conservatives organization, you know, in our state, you know, we don't have anything. And I think that resonates a lot with me because there was really nothing here when I started as well.
100%. So in terms of growing nationally, I mean, that's really cool. So do you like plan expanding in places like Florida or New York? I mean, obviously there's plenty of people that I'm sure would be interested and that would fall, you know, as, you know, into this category of being members.
Yeah. So naturally Florida, New York, California, there's kind of low hanging fruit. But I'm not sure if that's really my strategy that I want to implement right off the bat. I really want to just really kill it in Texas. I want to go to Houston, San Antonio, maybe skip Austin. I don't know if there's enough in there. But then outside of Texas, maybe we go just the Southwest. I'm looking at both options right now. I'm certainly looking at going to Florida pretty soon off the bat outside of Texas. But I think some of the other Southwest states, Alabama, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Nevada, Arizona, there's nothing there. Like there's some stuff already in, you know, little pockets in Florida, New York, other places on the coast, but there's really nothing that exists in some of those other states. And I think that that's kind of where our niche can really make a big impact for sure.
Awesome. So what does that look like for you in terms of growth? It's more of like hosting small local events, things like other states, or is like having like more nationwide, like, you know, events, like what is, you know, growth look like for you?
Yeah. So we've already identified several individuals in different states that theoretically would be like a Benji running it here in Dallas, you know, chapter president. So it's like a franchise model, if you will, in a way. So each chapter, each city would have a chapter president. They'd have their volunteer team. They'd be asked to do X number of events per month or per year. We would give them the tools from a standpoint of kind of like, like a franchise. We'd give them everything they would need from a marketing standpoint to get out there. Tools like social media, website, collateral marketing materials, you name it, everything they need to get started in their city. And then just run with it. So it's going to be somebody that's obviously passionate about politics. We'll always be looking for new dynamic people that can kind of take the reins over in their city and run with it. But it's at the beginning, I think it's somebody that's doesn't have to be a full-time job per se, but it's got to be somebody that has some time to be able to dedicate to putting on events. You know, it's a pretty big undertaking, as you can imagine. Even just putting on one event a month, that in itself is a very good place to start. And we want to keep people engaged. I mean, the whole point of our organization is to educate people, inform people, and once in a while entertain people too, and keep them up to date on the issues and the things that conservatives care most about. So if we're able to basically replicate what we're doing here in Dallas with other chapter leaders and presidents, that's where I want to go with it. That's the direction of it.
Makes sense. So can you talk more about your background, your career? Like what were you doing before this? Like what made you want to, it's one thing to say, okay, I have an idea to start something, but it's something right. Different to say, okay, I'm going to go full time and go and, you know, run this organization because I really believe in what I'm doing. So what did that look like?
Yeah. So my whole career has been sales and marketing. And I've been an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur at heart my whole life. Had a beverage company I sold in 2012. Most recently, before I started Dallas Jewish Conservatives, I was in the 3D printing world, managing about 80 sales reps, selling 3D printers to major companies and corporations. So I can sell. I can sell technical things. I can sell. I used to sell knives. My first job out of college, I sold Cutco knives. You may have heard of it. Was the number one salesperson in the Southwest, actually. And then I kind of was like, oh, I have the sales bug, you know, it might be something I'm good at. So kind of just stuck to what I was good at from the very beginning. And I've just been in different industries. I was in commercial real estate for a few years during the Obama years. That was tough. That was definitely tough, but I enjoy building relationships. End of the day, that's what I like doing. I like building companies. I like building solutions, finding solutions for problems or things that where there's a need for them and there's a void in the marketplace for them. So took that skill set and just, you know, when I got the political bug, I didn't know going into it, I was going to say, oh, I'm going to start Dallas Jewish Conservatives. It was something that kind of, I'd been doing 3D printing for several years. Trump decided to run for office. That's really what happened, is he came down that escalator. I'm like, this is the guy, you know, like this is something about this guy. It's time to make a switch here. I feel like there's a bigger calling here. And again, like I said at the beginning, it was more of a social club at the beginning. So I was still full time doing my sales and 3D printing and stuff at that time. But shortly thereafter, I realized there was something much bigger going on, kind of a revolution going on in the country. And I felt a calling. So then that's why I started and turned the social group into a business, into an organization.
That's awesome. So can you just talk more about, I think, you know, like a lot of people would be interested because obviously now within the Republican Party, there's like a lot of divide about Trump or not Trump. So then like your organization, how do you handle that? Because I think that there are many people that don't like Trump and that are considered to look like a conservative. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not, I make no, not bashful about it. I make no mistake that I voted for Trump twice. I've been totally open about that. As an organization, I don't endorse candidates. We're not a PAC. We don't endorse candidates. We'll make recommendations after the primaries, and that's something that we'll do. But I have people that are totally pro-Trump, 100% all the way, want them to, you know, win in 2024. And then I have people on the opposite side of the spectrum, and I would say it's probably the minority, but there's some that are 100% DeSantis, or they're a different candidate. A lot of people like some people like Vivek. I'm hearing all sorts of different things. That's one thing about conservatives. You know, it's there's a lot of opinions, and that's a good thing. That's why we have a primary, is to work these things out and to hear opinions from all the candidates and really understand their platform and the issues that they're running on, how they're going to address them and help the country. But again, as you won't get an answer from me as far as which candidate I'm going to be endorsing, because we just don't endorse them. And I, even from a personal standpoint, I'm kind of staying mum on that. But again, as I said, I voted for Trump twice, so there you go.
That makes sense. So earlier, I think you mentioned LinkedIn obviously is a way to reach people, but you know, besides that, or just in general, what is the role of technology when it comes to your business?
So I definitely use LinkedIn, like you mentioned. Role of technology. Social media is a big part of just getting your message out there and attracting new folks to the group. We have a very active Facebook group, actually. I feel like Facebook is probably our most prevalent platform out of all of them. Our demographics are, I would say, primarily 35 to 65, most likely somewhere in that realm. But I think, you know, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. I want to get even more active on those other platforms. We use Constant Contact for our email blasts. We're using a text blast software, AI. I'm looking at different AI stuff to help. I actually use some AI stuff right now to help run our Facebook pages, our Facebook groups. Yeah, I mean, it plays a big part. It's going to continue to play a big part in what we're doing, especially as we grow into American Jewish Conservatives in the next several months. We're rolling out a new membership structure, a new partnership structure, and new merchandise. So all that stuff's going to be tied into our website. And there's a lot of cool new things we're coming out with to kind of make the user experience really unique. And we're building out something that I have not seen other Republican clubs doing, as far as like a back end portal and some of the networking stuff we're doing, like a conservative business directories. There's a lot of cool stuff we're coming out with in the next few months. Yeah.
Makes sense. Like you mentioned that most of the people are 35 to 64. So I guess, what are you doing, if anything at all, to try and get more younger people involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. Trying to do some more happy hour events. I feel like young people like to go to those, and things that are less, a little bit more casual, a little bit more time to schmooze and network and business oriented. We were doing a lot more business oriented or business focused events where people would set up tables on the perimeter of like a room, and we would do networking in the middle, and then conservative owned businesses would set up tables. We still do that a lot at some of our events because people are sponsors, and we call them event partners or event sponsors of events. They set up a table and they can pitch their business and get in front of a nice crowd of people. But I want to get back to some more of the social networking and the business networking that I think some of the younger generation really likes a lot more. And I think happy hours is a good way to do that. But I think across the board, it's a problem for many Republican clubs that just the people that are active are just people that are older than myself. I mean, I'm 34. I would love to get more, you know, 25, you know, or 21 and up, really, to 35-year-olds. But it's difficult. It's just maybe you have a solution. I've been trying to figure that one out for a while, but it's a tough nut to crack. Most of the folks that are older than me are the ones that are really active in the party.
Yeah, I think something may could work is if you have like events specifically only targeted to young people, like 21 to 35 only. That's it. Nobody older, nobody beyond 40. Like that's, I think if you have those types of events, it might attract, say, okay, people say, I'm just going to go there and I'll be comfortable hanging out with like my crowd.
So they have the a group that I'm friendly with, the Dallas Young Republicans. That's they focus on that. I mean, that's so
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
it's just around the name, obviously. I think it'd be a little bit of a challenge for me, but just with our current demographics. But again, I'm not opposed to it. But that might be something that we do as we get a little bit bigger. We can kind of have different factions, different sections of our organization. But this time, I'm just focused on trying to create content and put out information and speakers that are going to hopefully resonate with pretty, wide, broader, swath of people, ideally.
Makes sense. So you mentioned earlier that you're looking into AI as a form of, technology, I guess you grow this organization. So what kind of
Yeah.
AI tools do you think could really help you as you scale?
Honestly, I don't know a ton about that yet, so I don't have a great answer for that question. I'm just now starting to look into it. I feel like every other day, Google comes up, sends me an email with some other new experiments on Google that they're coming out with to try with AI. I know there's a lot of writing tools that are using AI and tools for business meetings. There's actually some of that I've used recently with even on Zoom meetings. I'm not using on this one, but there are some tools that are like they'll create a whole synopsis of the meeting, and it's incredible. I mean, it's just to create a whole report basically about what was said, and they edit out the parts that are not important, and they summarize the parts that are, and it's changing our world, but I think if you think the AI is going away anytime soon, you're wrong. I think a lot of people are saying it's kind of like the internet 2.0, and I think it's going to be very much in people's favor to get to know the technology, because I think it will take away, certainly take away some jobs. It'll create other types of jobs. But I think we're definitely going to find ways to work it into what we're doing. And I'm all for streamlining stuff. So if I can help, take some of the load off myself on some of the things I'm doing and automate them, that helps us grow the organization faster. I'm all for it.
Awesome. So, what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this organization?
One biggest piece of advice I wish I knew. I think probably that politics is a blood sport, and it's very, you have to navigate the waters of on both sides of the aisle, but you have to navigate the waters very carefully, and you should keep your friends close, but your enemies closer, as they say. There's always people. Look, there's always people that are going to be trying to come after you for something that they disagree with, or that they don't see eye to eye with. And I think it's just politics brings out passion in people, and that's not a bad thing. But I think it's knowing how to navigate those waters, and kind of you don't want to piss people off. You don't want to tick people off. You want to try to just tell the facts, tell the truth as you see it. You want to put your opinions out there, and I think that's important. But you also just want to be careful how much you put out there and when you put it out there. And I think it's kind of just it's tough to say. I probably have made mistakes over the years doing that, but I try to just stay pretty consistent with my messaging, and I think that's probably the toughest thing, and something I wish that people probably told me from the very beginning.
That makes sense. Yeah, politics can definitely be a blood sport, no doubt. So,
Yeah.
if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing like your website or best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, the website's DallasJewishConservatives.com, DallasJewishConservatives.com. That's the best way. You can also email us at DallasJewishConservatives@gmail.com, just like it's spelled. And our Facebook, our Instagram, Twitter, we're on all the platforms. So send us a message, find our events on social media and on our website, and sign up. We'd love to have you.
Awesome. Well, Benji, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you as you grow this organization. Very exciting stuff. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks. All right. Bye.